This evening's reading is taken from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verses 25 to 32. Jeremiah 23, 25 to 32. And I shall be reading from the New King James. I have heard what the prophets have said to who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their father forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone tonight. Appreciate your presence this evening. Hope you had a good afternoon. We're able to rest and you're ready once again to open up God's word and to study along together. Keep your Bibles open to Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll be continuing on in the reading there momentarily. We're going to look at a couple of passages this evening that use and refer to the phrase, the burden of the Lord. And it's a phrase that many of the prophets in the Old Testament adopted and used in their writings. And even as we go into the New Testament, we continue to see some similar language and certainly the idea of the burden of the Lord being used in their teaching as well. We're going to dive into that this evening and see what that phrase really means and, probably more importantly, what application we can take from the use of that phrase and the meaning of that phrase. Burden is a word that we still periodically, at least, use today. It's a word that describes a heavy load or a weight that is being carried. But more often than not, in our English language, it's a word that's used figuratively. We use it most commonly to refer to an emotional burden, for example, that we may be carrying. Perhaps we're having to keep something a secret, and that feels like a burden to us. If we have to make a big decision about something, a decision that has very serious ramifications, we can feel a weight on our shoulder. It can be as a burden to us. And the Old Testament writers, interestingly enough, use the Hebrew word for burden in much the same way. They use it from time to time to describe a weight or a load that is being carried, most often by an animal of some sort. But just like in our English language, it's used more commonly in a figurative sense. But even more specifically, and what I really want us to focus in on tonight, is the use of that word in the phrase, the burden of the Lord, that's found throughout the prophecies of Isaiah, Jeremiah, in Malachi. And what's most interesting about those prophets' use of this word and that phrase is that the burden that they are talking about there is directly associated with the words of God. The prophet Isaiah, for instance, in his prophecies in chapters 13, 15, 17, 19, 21, 22, 23, and 30. He begins sections of those prophecies by saying, the burden against, and then concludes that with a nation or a city that God is going to bring judgment upon. If you're reading from the ESV or the King James Version in Jeremiah chapter 23, where David read for us just a minute ago, Jeremiah is going to begin using the phrase, the burden of the Lord, as we continue in our reading in just a moment. He's going to use that in association with the false prophets that David read about. If you read from the New King James or from the New American Standard, they translate that word as oracle, and I believe the NIV translates it as message, but it's the same Hebrew word that throughout Scripture is translated as burden. He puts this burden on these false teachers who were deceitfully claiming to be bringing God's message to the people, when in reality they were just perverting his words. Read with me, if you will, beginning in verse number 33, where David left off, and we'll read down through verse number 40 of Jeremiah chapter 23. When one of this people or a prophet or a priest asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden, and I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what has the Lord answered? Or what has the Lord spoken? But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. For the burden is every man's own word, and you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, or what has the Lord spoken? But if you say, the burden of the Lord, thus says the Lord, because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I sent to you saying you shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore, behold, I will surely lift you up and cast you away from my presence, you and the city that I gave to you and your fathers, and I will bring upon you everlasting reproach and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. We'll come back to Jeremiah chapter 23 in just a minute as we dive a little bit deeper into what he's saying there. As I mentioned a moment ago, though, Malachi also uses the same phrase. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1, he begins his prophecy by saying, the burden of the Lord to Israel, by Malachi. As I read through the ways in which Isaiah uses that word, and I read through the use of it in Jeremiah, and I read through it in Malachi, I begin to wonder to myself, what is it about the word of God that is so heavy? What is it about the word of God that is a burden to all of these people? To the nation of Babylon and Moab and Tyre and all those nations that Isaiah talks about. Why is it such a burden to these false prophets and to those who they're influencing? Why is it such a burden to Israel? What is it about God's word that is bringing about such a burden? I oftentimes, when I think of the idea of a burden in association with God and his word, I'm much more likely to think about it in the terms of Matthew chapter 11 and verses 29 and 30, where Jesus speaking there says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That sounds much more like God's relationship with a burden to me. God is the one who lightens my burden. God is the one who takes the weight off of my shoulder. God is the source of relief, not the source of the burden. And while the invitation to come to Christ that we read in Matthew chapter 11 is absolutely an invitation of rest and an invitation of comfort, and yes, even an invitation to a burden-free existence in eternity, we cannot overlook the fact that the word of the Lord is a very real and a very heavy burden to many. If we go back in Jeremiah chapter 23, we'll see there quite clearly that the truth becomes a burden, as we've already mentioned, to those who are mishandling and misrepresenting God's word. It's interesting to note that nowhere in the first 22 chapters of the book of Jeremiah does he use the phrase "the burden of the Lord" until he gets to the section where he begins talking about the false teachers. And then, as we just read, the burden of the Lord is in every other sentence. These false teachers were out claiming to have the truth. They were out claiming to know God's word, shouting it from the rooftops. But the fact of the matter was that they were creating nothing but a burden for themselves and for those hearing their teaching. They were misrepresenting themselves. They were misrepresenting their relationship with God and with His Word. And in doing so, bringing about a burden upon themselves and those under their influence. Now, as we begin to look at this in terms of application for us today, I believe I can safely assume that if I asked all of the false teachers in attendance to please come and sit on this front row, I imagine after making that request, that front row would remain just as empty as it is right now. No one here thinks of themselves as a false teacher. In fact, in our limited use of that phrase today, false teacher is most often associated with other people. Perhaps it's reserved for other denominations. Perhaps it's reserved for only the most blatant offenders of God's word. But let me change the request and perhaps reshape it a little bit and ask you to contemplate in your own minds, just how careful are you with God's word? How carefully do you approach teaching God's word? How seriously do you take your understanding of God's word? Paul addressed this with his dear friend Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse number 15, he writes, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Timothy, this is serious business. Have you not heard what happened with Hymenaeus and Philetus? Have you not heard the trouble they caused, the cancer that is now growing in the body because of them? Timothy, you have to be diligent in your approach to God's word. You have to take great caution that you rightly divide the word of God. A casual or a flippant relationship with the truth is going to have a cancer-like effect that weighs down those who teach it and those who hear it. We must be careful with God's word. We must recognize the dangers of mishandling it, misapplying it, and misunderstanding it. Not only for ourselves, but for those who we might influence in the process. Because as the scriptures very clearly teach, teaching a little bit of error, even in ignorance, is still teaching error. The responsibility that we have is great. And the consequences of false teaching can be felt by the teacher and by the hearer. Paul saw this becoming a problem in the region of Galatia, an area where he had spent a great deal of time in his first missionary journey. So much so that he began his letter to the Christians in Galatia in verse number 6 of Galatians chapter 1 by saying, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Christians in Corinth were dealing with much the same problem. Paul wrote to them using very similar language in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 2. "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." There is no such thing as close enough. When it comes to understanding God's word, and especially when it comes to teaching it to others, close enough just isn't good enough. We must understand that teaching the word comes with a great deal of responsibility. And if we have a casual relationship with the truth, we are going to feel the full weight of the Lord on our shoulders. And perhaps even worse than that, we're going to pass it on to others. Even Jesus uses this burden imagery to address those responsible for leading others astray. In Matthew chapter 18, begin in verse number 6, where he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's a burden. Just as it did in the days of Jeremiah, misrepresenting God's word takes the comfort and the freedom of the truth and turns it into a burden for both the teacher and the hearer. As Christians today, we must be careful with the truth. We must be diligent in our studies. We must be diligent in our teaching. We must rightly divide God's word and treat it with the proper respect that it deserves. One of the reasons why this is so important is because false teachers and thus misinformed hearers become openly rebellious people. The prophet Isaiah, as we mentioned already, so bluntly points out as he begins so many of his prophecies that the burden of the Lord is going to fall on those who are openly rebellious to God. As I mentioned already, several of those prophecies begin with the burden against Babylon and Moab and Tyre and Damascus, etc., etc. To a rebellious people, to a people pushing back against God, God's word is nothing but a burden to them. It's full of destruction. It's full of judgment. It's full of suffering. Read through these prophecies of Isaiah on these nations. It's horrible. But it doesn't have to be that way. Think back to the story of Jonah and to the message that God gave to Jonah to deliver to the city of Nineveh. And as he eventually made his way there, do you remember what he said as he walked through the streets of that wicked, horrible city of Nineveh? Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Rebellious people hear that as destruction. Rebellious people hear that as a burden. But the people of Nineveh apparently heard that as a message of hope. Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 5. What was the response of the people of Israel, or the people of Nineveh, to the call that they are going to be overthrown in 40 days? Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. You're going to be overthrown in 40 days was a message of hope to those people because God was granting them another 40 days. To a rebellious people who are pushing back against God, that's a message of destruction. That's a message of death. It's a message of judgment. The same truth and the same words can be heard by people in very similar situations with drastically different results. Babylon and Tyre and Moab and all the other nations that God brought punishment upon could only hear the destructive words of the prophet Isaiah. They felt the weight of God's wrath, but they chose to do nothing about it. Nineveh hears that God is bringing destruction, and they find hope that leads them to repentance. The burden of the Lord is a choice. do you read passages about the final judgment? About the day that Christ returns to bring judgment on this world? Do you read those passages and get a feeling of hope? Do you read those passages and get a sense of excitement, of anticipation, anxiously waiting for that day to come? Or do you read those very same passages and get filled with anxiety, filled with uncertainty? Do you read those very same passages and begin to feel the weight of the Lord on your shoulders? Your response to the truth, determines whether or not the words of Jesus that we read from Matthew chapter 11 ring true in your life. He promises rest, and he promises relief. But it's your choice whether you're going to hear those words and allow them to fill you with excitement, or hear those words and have them weigh on you day in and day out. And finally, as I alluded to at the beginning of the lesson, false teachers and rebellious people certainly aren't the only ones feeling the weight of the truth. The burden of the Lord falls on those whose hearts have been hardened to that truth. If we stay in the book of Jeremiah, we flip back to chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, at the beginning of that chapter, God there explains to Jeremiah that he is in complete control of which nations rise and which nations fall, and that it's through his words and his words alone that these wicked nations are destroyed. But he goes on to explain in verse number 7. He says, "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." If they repent, God will spare them. That's a message of hope for people. And so Jeremiah, as God directs him, takes this message to the people of Judah. And in verse number 11, he says, "Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." What was Judah's response to this prophecy? In verse number 12, "And they said, That is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart." When Jeremiah brought the prophecy of God to the people of Judah, he encountered a people whose hearts had been hardened to the point that they could no longer see the grace that was being extended to them. They could only see hopelessness. They could only see destruction. Of course, Pharaoh, probably the most famous example of someone whose heart was hardened, reacted much the same way in the Exodus story that's found for us in Exodus chapters 5 through 12. In chapter 14, we see the destruction that comes upon Pharaoh and his army. But sometimes as we read through that story that we're all probably very familiar with, we can sometimes fail to realize the great deal of patience that God showed toward Pharaoh. He was given every opportunity to spare his life and the lives of his people. He was given every opportunity to stave off the destruction that was coming. But just as the Lord had prophesied would happen, Pharaoh's heart was instead hardened to the truth. Have you ever had an experience where you shake the hand of an old farmer, somebody that's worked outside their whole lives? You ever shaken the hand of somebody like that and been a little taken aback at how hard and calloused their hands are? Those are hands who have been carrying a heavy burden for a very long time. And as a defense mechanism against that heavy burden, their hands have hardened in an effort to protect themselves. And albeit not a perfect analogy, I believe the same is true when we hear God's word. And we recognize the life-altering significance of what it says. Either we are going to accept it as truth and yield our will to God's, allow him to mold us and to shape us and to change us, or we are going to feel the heavy burden of the Lord and become callous to it. Our hearts can become hardened as a result of the burden of the Lord. Hard hearts are a result of resistance. The very same truth, that can set us free, as Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, will be the source of very many hardened hearts. Hardened hearts by those who time and time again resist the teachings of the Lord. It's up to each of us to choose that freedom. It's up to each of us to accept the gift of forgiveness, to accept the gift of grace, and to accept those things with soft hearts, to accept them with an attitude of humility. It's up to us to in every way submit our will to God's. If you're here this evening and you're feeling the burden of the Lord on your shoulders, you're feeling the weight of his truth, I want to encourage you this evening to think about that as a gift from God himself. That weight you're feeling, that burden you're bearing, is given to you by God to move you to repentance. It's given to you so that you can see the hope and the comfort that awaits to those who become a child of his. If you've never become a Christian, we want to extend to you tonight the invitation to do just that. To put off another burden, the burden of sin, and to put on the new man that is free, that is forgiven, that is washed clean. If you've done that, but you've fallen victim to sin once again, and you're again feeling the weight of the Lord on your shoulders this evening, we want to encourage you to come back to him. We want to encourage you to return to God through repentance and restore that relationship with your Father that he so desperately wants and that you so desperately need. you have any spiritual need that we can help you with this evening, please come to the front and let us know how while we stand and sing.